Please turn with me now in your Bible to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8, verses 25 through 40. We've been working our way together through the book of Acts, and this morning we want to consider together sharing the good news of Jesus. Again, our text this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 8. We're picking up where we left off last time with verse 25. Let's hear God's word. Now, when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I understand unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Thus far the reading of God's word. May the Lord add his blessing to it. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for the opportunity to gather here this morning, a beautiful day. And we pray, Lord, as we come, perhaps with heavy hearts, perhaps with joyful hearts, perhaps with mixed emotions, here we are, Father, by your grace. And here we are, ready, open, eager, that you might pour out your grace on us. And so we ask for that. Lord, we pray for clarity, for peace. We pray for the good news of Jesus, that the good news might wash afresh over us, that you would bathe us this morning in the good news of Jesus, that you would open up our ears to hear the good news, that you would open up our hearts to receive the good news, that you would open up our lives that we might believe the good news of Jesus. Oh, Father, bring us good news this morning. Help us to hear it, believe it, and receive it. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever found yourself in a situation and you look around and you ask yourself, "What on earth am I doing here?" You know, you look around and you think, "How on earth did I end up in this situation with these people?" You know, maybe you got turned around and you just got lost. You know, you're going on the interstate, you accidentally take the wrong exit, and all of a sudden you think, "I don't know where I am." Or you're visiting somebody at the hospital. It is so easy to get turned around the hospital. You turn left at the nurse's station instead of turning right, and all of a sudden you're like, "Where am I?" And it's easy to do that in life. This decision leads to that decision, which leads to another decision, and all of a sudden you think, well, where am I? This isn't where I wanted to end up. This isn't where I wanted to be in life. Well, Sometimes we simply make poor decisions and we have to backtrack, but sometimes things happen that we have no control over. Sometimes the Lord sends you to unlikely people in unlikely places to tell them about Jesus. All right, remember where we left off? Philip has gone down to Samaria to tell them the good news about Jesus. That's a big deal because the Samaritans were unclean. Okay, they were only half Jewish, and they've mixed biblical religion with all sorts of immorality and idolatry. And so up to this point, the kingdom of heaven has been closed to the Samaritans. Now, Philip goes to Samaria, and he says, good news. Jesus Christ has come. Our sin bearer, our sin offering, our sacrifice. Jesus Christ has died for our immorality. He has died for our idolatry. He has died for our uncleanness. Jesus Christ has died, and now the gates of heaven are open wide. Jesus Christ has died to open up the gates of the kingdom of heaven. That's good news. And so many of the Samaritans received the good news with joy. We saw last week that the city of Samaria was filled with joy. Well, then the apostles back in Jerusalem have heard what God is doing. And so they sent Peter and John down to Samaria to see and to hear how God's grace has come to the Samaritans. Well, that's where we pick up this morning. Verse 25, this is speaking about Peter and John. It says, now, when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem. Okay, remember we saw this last week. Peter and John came down from Jerusalem, and they laid their hands on the Samaritans, and they prayed for the Samaritans. And now we're told they spoke to them, they testified, they preached to them. And then after doing all those things, Peter and John go back. They go back home. They go back to Jerusalem. But look at what it says. They returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. So they go home, they're going to Jerusalem, but along the way, they're preaching the gospel. They're stopping in this town, they're going to this village, they're gathering this crowd, and they're sharing the gospel along the way. And that's exactly what we should be doing. We should be talking to others about the Lord through the normal course of events throughout the day. Sometimes we mistakenly think that sharing the gospel is only something we do at certain scheduled times. Oh, it's vacation Bible school. I better get ready to share the gospel. Whereas we should be talking to others about the Lord all the time through the normal course of events throughout the day. If you are trusting in Jesus Christ, if you've come to know the good news of Jesus, that God has opened wide the gates of the kingdom, if you love this Jesus, and you talk to Jesus, and you walk with Jesus, if you're depending on Jesus, and you're relying on Jesus, well, it's only natural that you'll be talking about Jesus. We should be talking about the Lord all the time through the normal course of the day. It should just be who we are. It should happen naturally. And yet, sometimes, God puts you in a particular place to reach a particular person. Okay, look at verse 26. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So Peter and John, they're on their way to Jerusalem. And they're just stopping at different towns and villages, sharing the gospel along the way. But an angel comes to Philip, and the angel says, Philip, God wants you to go south to this road that comes from Jerusalem to Gaza. Well, it tells us here, this is a desert place. It's desert. It's desolate. It's empty. There's nobody there, okay? Peter and John, they're going from town to town. They're talking to all kind of people. Maybe Peter's healing people and John's casting out demons and they're drawing a crowd and they're talking to people. They're seeing crowd. But God sends Philip in the middle of nowhere, out in the desert, in a desolate place where nobody lives. Well, it says that he arose and he went. He does what the angel says. And behold, there was an Ethiopian. So here is Philip. He listens to the angel. He goes out in the middle of the desert. He doesn't expect to see anybody. You wouldn't think you'd see anybody out there. Not only does he see someone from Ethiopia. Well, I mean, Ethiopia is in Africa. And it's not just around the corner. To get to Ethiopia, you got to go through Egypt and then Sudan, and then you got to either go through or around Eritrea. I mean, you could probably go your entire life. If you lived in ancient Israel, you could easily go your entire life and never, ever see someone from Ethiopia. So this is really peculiar to go out here in the middle of nowhere. You don't expect to see anyone. Not only does he see someone, he sees someone from Africa. He sees someone from Ethiopia. And it's not just anybody. It says he was a eunuch. All right. Children, in the ancient world, if you were a man and you worked in the palace, okay, especially if you worked around women, okay, maybe you're a servant and your job is to help the princess, they don't want you flirting with the princess. Okay? They don't want you, you know, trying to go on a date with the princess. And so if you were a man and you worked in the palace, especially if you worked with ladies, sometimes you would have a certain surgery, okay, that you would no longer be able to have children. Okay? That way you leave the ladies alone and you do your job. Okay? And a man who had that surgery, it's called a eunuch. Okay? A eunuch is a man who can't have children. This guy out in the middle of nowhere, not only is he from Ethiopia, it says he's a eunuch, okay? A court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. I mean, this is crazy. This is extraordinary. In the middle of nowhere, you see this guy, he's a royal official. This man is from the palace of Ethiopia. He's in charge of the queen's treasure. This is extraordinary. This would be like, suppose you went out in the Pine Barrens, okay? I don't know why you do that, but suppose you want to get away. You're tired of people. You're going to go out there and spend some time alone. You go out in the Pine Barrens, you think you're going to be all by yourself, and you run into somebody. And not only do you run into somebody, suppose you run into a member of Great Britain's royal family. That's crazy. Well, that's what this is like. Philip goes out in the middle of the desert, and not only does he run into somebody, this guy is a court official from the palace of Ethiopia. This is extraordinary. This is really crazy. Okay? But the point is, sometimes God puts you in a particular place to reach a particular person. It's not always how many people you can reach, but it's about reaching the person that God wants you to reach. Okay? So here's Peter and John, and as they're going to Jerusalem, they're going to this town, they're going to this village, they're speaking to this crowd. That's wonderful. Nothing wrong with reaching a crowd. But sometimes it's not about how many people you can reach. Sometimes it's about reaching the person God wants you to reach. So while Peter and John are going from one town and one village to this crowd or that, God sends Philip to one person out there in the desert, because God wants to reach him with the good news of Jesus. Sometimes the Lord sends you to the most unlikely people in the most unlikely places to tell them about Jesus. Well, it says here that this Ethiopian had come to Jerusalem to worship. Well, that explains why he's there. He's come to Jerusalem, and now he's on his way home. But that doesn't explain everything. This man's from Ethiopia. Somehow he has become persuaded that the God of Israel is worthy of worship. I don't know where he heard that. Did he hear that in Ethiopia? But apparently he's somewhat serious about it, enough to spend considerable money and effort and time to travel all the way up from Ethiopia to go to Jerusalem to worship. Now he's on his way home, and it says he was returning seated in his chariot. This is not the kind of chariot that you see in the old, Ben-Hur, the old movies about the Romans. This isn't a racing chariot. In the old movies on Turner Broadcasting, there's these little chariots, you know, the size of a chair, and they go up on one wheel. This isn't a racing chariot, okay? This is a royal official. He's a court official, and he is seated. So picture something like a wagon, a stagecoach. This is something presumably pretty large, and we're not talking about going real fast. If you're in a chariot race, I guarantee you, you're not sitting down reading, okay? This is a large chariot. He's on a long journey. He's going through the desert. So presumably, we're not going real fast. And he's sitting, and he's reading from the prophet Isaiah. Where did a man from Ethiopia get a copy of the scroll of Isaiah? Maybe he just got it in Jerusalem. I don't know. But this whole thing is extraordinary. Very few people would have their own copy of a scroll of anything in the scriptures. Very expensive. But here's this Ethiopian, obviously a wealthy man, and perhaps while he was in Jerusalem, he has purchased this scroll. So here he is. He's riding home, and he's reading this book of Isaiah. Well, the Spirit says to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. All right, keep in mind, in the ancient world, often when you read out loud. That's just simply the way most people read, especially if you're reading scripture. The idea of meditating on scripture was literally muttering. You would read it out loud over and over again, kind of to yourself. Also, presumably he's reading a Hebrew copy of Isaiah, but he's from Ethiopia. You know how you are when you're reading something you're not familiar with, or something that's in a different language, or just something you're not quite sure what it means. You tend to read it slowly, out loud. You're trying to sound it out. You're trying to understand it. Well, whatever the case is, this Ethiopian is reading Isaiah out loud, and something about the way he's reading it suggests that maybe he doesn't really understand it. So Philip comes alongside, hears him reading, and he says, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, how can I unless someone guides me? Now, keep in mind, this would have been a highly educated person. Not just anyone would be assigned over the treasure of the queen. This would have been a highly educated man. This would have been a man who probably has been groomed for this from his youth. And yet, when it comes to scripture, he doesn't understand it. In fact, when he comes to a passage that almost everyone here could say, that's about Jesus. Here's an educated man, and he doesn't know what it's about. Okay? People generally need help understanding the Bible. Okay? Maybe you work with the best of the best, the best and the brightest, really the top notch, or maybe you're in class with some really sharp kids, and sometimes we're intimidated by people like that. They may be very educated. Very well groomed, okay? They may have all kind of education, but they may know nothing or very little about the Bible. Even this court official doesn't understand what he's reading, okay? People generally need help understanding the Bible, and that's where you come in, okay? Where you can help people understand the good news of Jesus. So, the eunuch says, come on up and join me in my chariot. And the passage he was reading was this. It's from Isaiah 53. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. And like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. Here's a passage from Isaiah, and it's describing a person who's being led away to death. And yet this person is silent. Like a lamb that's being taken to slaughter, this person doesn't resist. This person is meek and humble, and his life is taken from him. Well, the eunuch, the Ethiopian, is reading this, and he says, well, who's he talking about? Is Isaiah talking about himself, or is he talking about someone else? And then, verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth. He opened his mouth. You have to listen to people. Okay? You will never know what people are struggling with if you don't listen to them. You'll never know what their problems are if you don't listen to them. You'll never know what questions they have if you don't listen to them. You have to listen to people. You have to respect them. Okay, you have to show some sympathy, some concern, some compassion. You try to build a relationship. You show that you care. You got to listen to people. But if you really want to help them at some point, you got to open your mouth. It says here, Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. Well, in some ways now, the Ethiopian has kind of made this easy because he's reading a passage clearly about Jesus. And he asks Philip, well, who's this about? But you know, really, you can start from almost anywhere and tell people the good news of Jesus. Maybe they're concerned about their children. Maybe they're concerned about the direction of the country. Maybe they're concerned about the economy, or they're concerned about the future, or maybe they're having problems with their health. You can start with almost any issue, and from that, tell them the good news of Jesus. You know, you don't want to get sidetracked. It's so easy to get sidetracked and get into issues that are important but secondary. When you want to tell people the good news of who Jesus is and what he's done, you can start from almost anything they're struggling with or any question they might have and take them to Jesus. Well, this is what Philip does. It says he opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. Okay, so presumably we have servants in this chariot. Somebody's driving the chariot. Others perhaps are there. This is a wealthy official. But he commands the chariot to stop, and they both went down, well, this says into the water or to the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. Well, this raises all sorts of questions, but probably the first one is that baptism is usually public. I mean, it's usually done before the people of God as a sign and a seal of God's promises. This isn't public at all. This is out in the desert with only Philip and the eunuch. But this is the only possible chance. This man's on his way back to Africa. If he doesn't get baptized now, it's not going to happen. And what does Philip do? He makes the most of the moment. You never know how long an opportunity is going to be there. You know, you tell yourself, I got to talk to that girl at some point. I need to tell her about the Lord. Before you know it, she might get transferred to another department. She may go on sick leave. You might get transferred, or you may take another job. You never know how long an opportunity is going to be there. You want to seize it when it comes. Okay? Philip seizes this moment to tell this man about Jesus and baptize him. He seizes the moment, and so does the Ethiopian. It says here, when they came up, well, it says out of the water or from the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. It's as if God had Philip there for one purpose and one purpose only, just to tell the eunuch about Jesus and baptize him. And then once he's done that, the Spirit takes Philip somewhere else. But he made the most of that moment while he was there. And so did the eunuch. It says, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. You never know what might be the last time you hear the gospel. You know, maybe you're here most Sundays, and you hear the good news, and you think to yourself, well, you know, someday I'll get older, I'll think about that. But you never know. This might be the last time you really hear the gospel. Because you know how it is. Sometimes you come and you're not listening. I mean, we all do that. Sometimes we're in worship and we're not really tuned in. We're not really paying attention. And sometimes we don't come at all. This might be the last time that you clearly hear the good news that Jesus gave himself to be your sin bearer, to be your savior, that Jesus didn't come to condemn you. He didn't come to condemn you for your sin. He came to save you from your sin. This might be the last chance you hear that. You don't want to miss that opportunity. You want to seize that opportunity by giving yourself freely to Jesus right now today. That's what the eunuch does. I mean, just think about that. He is on his way home to Africa. He is probably never going to hear the gospel again. But just before he leaves Israel, he hears the gospel and he seizes the moment. You never know what might be the last chance that you hear the good news of Jesus and have it clearly in your ears. You don't want to miss that. You want to give yourself wholly and freely and without reservation to Jesus Christ. You never know. You never know how God has used you or what fruit might come from something you've said or done. It says here that the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. They never saw each other again. Philip never saw the eunuch. Eunuch never saw Philip. And yet what a difference it has made in this man's life. It says he went on his way rejoicing. Okay? From this brief encounter, his life has been changed. And you know, you can imagine the other servants, the servants in this chariot, they've heard it. They see the difference in the court official's demeanor. They see that he's rejoiced. I'm sure he's going to talk to them about it. He's got a captive audience for this whole long drive back to Ethiopia, and he's got the scroll of Isaiah right there. He obviously isn't afraid to talk to them about spiritual things because he's been reading the book of Isaiah out loud in front of them. I guarantee you he would have talked to them about Jesus. Who knows what an impact the eunuch might have had on all his servants. And who knows who he might have talked to when he went back to Ethiopia. Who knows what kind of influence he might have had in the palace. He may have talked to the queen. He may have shared the gospel with the queen. He may have impacted the way the budget was set, the way the treasury of Ethiopia was spent. We have no idea. Philip never knew how he may have impacted a nation for Jesus. You may never know how God has used you or what fruit might come from something you've said or done. You just want to be ready when the opportunity comes. And this is how our text ends. It says Philip found himself at Azotus. Okay, so God's spirit takes him up, and all of a sudden Philip finds himself at Azotus, which is a city along the coast. So what does Philip do? It says, well, as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Okay. God takes him to this town along the coast. So what does Philip do? He just goes up the coast and he shares the gospel as he goes. Okay. Sometimes God has you in a particular place to reach a particular person, but you don't know when that is. You don't know who that is. And so what do? You just do what Philip does. You just talk about the Lord all the time. As you go along through the day, as you're thinking about God's word, you read it out loud. You keep a Bible on your desk. You make it known. And people will find their way to you. You just want to talk about the Lord all the time throughout the course of the day. Not in a way that's obnoxious, just in a way that's natural. Knowing sometimes the Lord is going to send you to unlikely people in unlikely places to tell them the good news about Jesus. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we bless you that we have something more rare than the most rare diamond. We have something so exquisite. We have something so unusual. We have good news. We have really, really good news. We have good news that does not grow old. We have good news that doesn't lose its power. We have good news that is more than good news. It's great news. It is the only news. Father, we pray this morning, first of all, that we would hear and believe the good news. Help us ourselves to believe or even believe afresh the good news that Jesus came not to point his finger at us, not to condemn us, not to find fault with us, but to save us, to deliver us, to suffer in our place, to redeem us, that Jesus came to bless us. Lord, help us to hear and believe and receive and share the good news about Jesus. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Pastor Claude Taylor. I'm glad you've just heard the broadcast of the weekly Sunday morning worship service of New Hope Presbyterian Church. New Hope Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-based church ministry where everyone is welcome. I invite you to join us in person for worship each Sunday at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages. The church is located at the corner of Hitchener Avenue and Osborne Lane, in the neighborhood across from Bridgeton High School. If you need more information or wish to speak to me personally, please call 856-451-7644. That's 856-451-7644. This broadcast is a production of New Hope Presbyterian Church, a member of the Orthodox Presbyterian family of churches.